So what have we been talking about?
It wasn't a trick question or anything. Did you already forget? I'm going to start from the beginning. Holy cow.
We're going to be here till midnight. What have we been talking about?
Abandonment.
Oh, we started with abandonment.
Alignment.
Oh, we talked about agreement last night. Yeah. What did we talk about this morning?
Alignment.
What did we talk about?
Quantum
alignment.
Physics.
We talked about a quantum leap. That puts us into alignment, right? Okay. So we are going to shift gears. We've been talking about agreement. What are we agreeing with? Are we agreeing with God? Are we agreeing with other voices? Are we agreeing with doubt? Are we agreeing with fear? What are we agreeing with?
God.
We're going to agree with God, and we're going to come into agreement with each other. Now, we also talked about how agreement, unity does not mean uniformity or conformity. There is room for differences. There is room for diversities. That we all don't make the same sound. God, you know, in the scripture we used, if two or more of you agree, and in the Amplified it says, make a symphony together. And the idea of a symphony is we don't all play the exact same note. No, everybody plays a little different note, but it comes together as in harmony because we're at least in the same song and in the same key. So, now let's shift to the power of alignment. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together? Now, Mr. Pete, come here for a second. Stand up here, bro. Okay. Now, we are going to walk together, brother. So come here, and you're going to walk this way, okay? And now, are we walking together?
No.
Okay, let's try this again. Okay, now, are we walking together yet?
No.
No. Okay, here's what has to happen is we got to come into alignment.
Amen.
See, two can't walk together. If one's going one direction, one's going the other, it ain't going to work that way. We got to be in alignment. So it's one thing to be in agreement. Pete might say, yes, Doug, I agree. We need to go to Big Mamu for lunch. But you know, if he heads out in his car and he's headed towards New York, then, you know, we're going to have some issues, aren't we? Yeah.
You're going to Bubba's?
Bubba's Barbecue.
Bubba's Barbecue. Hallelujah. Sounds good to me. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Surely the Lord God, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he reveals his secret unto his servant, the prophet. So keep in mind, agreement is essential, but we have to have not only agreement, but we must have alignment. Alignment has to do with lifestyle, has to do with the things we say, the things we do, the way we live. Now, I'm going to talk about the power of alignment. Alignment requires action that is rooted in agreement. We'll say that again. Alignment requires action that is rooted in agreement. Now, the children of Israel were in agreement with the 10 spies that brought up an evil report. Remember, that's what we talked about. They were in agreement with these 10 spies, and thus they aligned themselves with a lie. Because two got it right, two were in agreement with God, the other 10 got it backwards. All the children of Israel, they came into agreement with the ones that got it backwards, and thus they aligned themselves with a lie. Now, here we have the what I would call the quintessential example of a wrong alignment. And it's Numbers 14, verse 2 through 4. Numbers 14, 2 through 4. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness! And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Oh, and that our wives and our children... they always bring the wives and the children into it. You really want to get somebody to feel sorry for it. Oh, and the women and the children, And what a bunch of whiners. Just want to smack them. Sorry, that's not very pastoral, is it? Just want to smack him. And oh, our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. See, because of their wrong alignment, remember their declaration? We are not able. What did Joshua and Caleb say? We are well able. What did the 10 say? We're not able. Because of their wrong alignment, that those words, we're not able, became a self-fulfilling prophecy. And see, we don't want to be like that, do we?
No.
We don't want to be like that. Here's the result of their wrong alignment. Numbers 32. Numbers 32, 11 and 12. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Now keep in mind, God had said, this is yours. Go in and take it. He had given this to them. It was theirs. This didn't have to happen. This did not have to happen, but because of their wrong alignment, God said, okay, have it your way. I did it my way. God says, okay, you want it your way? Do it your way. And here's the consequence. You ain't going into the land. Why? Because you have not wholly followed me. Save Caleb, the son of Caleb, the son of this person, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You know Joshua didn't have any parents?
Son of Nun.
Everyone
laughed. That was funny.
Oh, God, I know. Thinks he's a stand-up comedian. I am standing up. I'm just short. I can't help it. Okay. So, except for Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the... See, only two, Joshua and Caleb, they were agreed and they were in alignment because they what? They wholly followed the Lord. See, they were in alignment. Not only were they in agreement, they were in alignment. And see, that's the bane of the church today is, oh yes, Lord, we agree. But it's lip service a lot of time. We don't, this alignment thing is that's the tough part. Now, I want to just touch on something here because I think it's important, but it's a little bit of a delicate subject. Alignment that's not rooted in agreement is usually disastrous. All too often, this has been going on for 30 years. I've heard this from well-meaning Christians who are staying in a religious system, staying in a church that they really are not in agreement with. And I'm not talking about just little differences in wineskin. The way we do things. I'm talking about fundamental differences. The other side of this coin is there are some people that are just, they're so stinking spiritually picky that they can't get along with anybody. They can't get along in any church because they're way too spiritual for any kind of a church. And I'm not talking about, that's not the answer, okay? I'm saying, if you're in a church and maybe they do things a little bit differently than you would like, relax. The wineskin, how you do things, is not that important. There's parts of our church that
I would do it differently if it was just up to me, but it's not just up to me. Because I'm the pastor, yes, but I'm not the one who calls all the shots, because it's a corporate body. And some things are done differently than I personally would do them, but you know what? That's okay. It's not a big deal. You know?
But to be in a religious system that you have fundamental, you cannot agree with, it's wrong. And I've heard it for years. Well, God has us here to change things. Yes, that's why we're staying in this church.
Even though it's dead, even though it's not going in, even though it doesn't believe, God has us here to change things. Friend, I got news for you. You're not going to change things. Sorry, you're not. Unless you're the pastor, you ain't going to change things. Alignment that is not rooted in agreement is disastrous. Amen. All you're going to do is cause division. Because that's usually what happens when you stay somewhere that you're not in agreement with, is you begin to form a little group around you that's, they're also not necessarily in agreement, but you're going to stay. And it ends up like a little cancer. A little cancer cell that spreads and it makes the whole body sick. Alignment that's not rooted in agreement is disastrous. And that's, I've seen it for years and years and years, and it's like, in their heart they want to move on in the deeper things of God, but yet they stay in a system that is not going, it's not going to accommodate where they want to go. And it's silly. Don't do it. Well, what do we do? Well, seek God. Now, that doesn't give you the excuse to walk out the doors of church and never go and never be aligned with anybody else again. See, that's the other end of the spectrum. This does not give, because you're not built to be an island, you know. We need fellowship. We need to be connected with others. It's just that I've just seen it too many times where there is a church that's moving in present truth, that's moving in the direction these people would really like to be going, but they will not come out of the old system simply because, well, we're here to change things, and nothing ever changes. And they end up disgruntled and basically a little cancer cell, you know. So, alignment that's not rooted in agreement, It's not good. And I'm not talking about just little differences of the way we do things, you know. That's I'm talking about fundamental differences. See, if you are in alignment with something you are not in agreement with, then you are really out of alignment and you're working against the purposes of God. And like I say, that doesn't give you the permission to give up on local church either. Because if you are not in some type of local fellowship, if you are not in some type of local gathering, now whether you gather in a building with a steeple, or whether you gather in a room like this, or whether you gather in a living room, it doesn't really matter. None of that. It's just, if you're not in alignment with some type of local fellowship, you're out of alignment and you're out of the purpose of God. Now, granted, there are seasons. Maybe you've been in the religious system and God might pull you out for a season. But if your season has lasted 10, 15 years, friend, you need to get over it. And I got hurt in the church. Well, hello. Anybody here not have a sad story when it comes to church and being hurt? Anybody not have a sad story? If you don't, then just stick around. Well, heck, we can solve that problem tonight. anybody ever not been offended in church? Well, heck, you know, we'll take care of that right here. You know,
See, that there's the two ends of the spectrum. That doesn't give us license just to, well, it's just me and Jesus. All I need is me and Jesus. No, you don't. You need the body. Because if it's just me and Jesus, you know, it doesn't work that way. Because the primary place that he shows up is in his people. And if you're off this island by yourself, it ain't going to work, you know. So, alignment that is not rooted in agreement is not a good thing. Now, let's get back to Joshua and Caleb. It says they wholly followed the Lord. See, they were not only in agreement, but they were in alignment. Now, you know what happens when your automobile, anybody ever had your car out of alignment? Mm-hmm. What happens when your car is out of alignment? You go to put on the brakes and it seems like what? Pulls to one side. Or even when you're driving, it seems like it just kind of pulls to one side. Well, do you understand that is what happened with the children of Israel? Is basically they were out of alignment. And what happened? Circles.
That's right.
For 40 years.
And
see, it's the same in the spirit. I know people been going around the same stinking mountain for years and years and years. Why? Because they're out of alignment. And they go to one church and they find something to disagree about with that church. And so they go to another church and they never resolve anything. So basically, they end up going around the same circle and the same. And if the town is small enough, eventually they'll end up back at the first place. And still haven't resolved anything. And it's like, man, aren't you tired of this going in circles thing? Yeah. You know, their wrong alignment caused them to go in circles basically for an entire generation. I remember one time I bought new tires for, I forget which vehicle it was of ours, but I bought new tires. I mean, brand new tires. Man, it was like, yeah, baby, I got new wheels. And that car, it rode really smooth. But you know what? I was too cheap to get, because they offered me an alignment also. But I was too cheap to get the alignment. So I got my new tires, and man, I'm driving. And you know what? About 6 months later, I started noticing that all of a sudden, my smooth ride wasn't so smooth, and I get to looking at the tire. And you know, within about 6 to 8 months, those new tires I bought were worn. Now, they weren't worn everywhere. They were just worn in little spots, but they were worn so bad I had to replace the tires. See, that's what happens when you get out of alignment. Stuff gets worn out real quick. And your ride gets kind of bumpy. Anybody, you're riding along in life, and you know you're out of alignment, and you wonder why your life is going like this, you know? Alignment is really important. Now, we're going to talk about proper wheel alignment. Go to Ezekiel chapter 1:16. So when you take your car into the shop to get it aligned, who's going to work on it? Is it going to be the guy that they hired just to kind of sweep up after stuff? No. The person who aligns your car is going to be somebody who has had a training in alignment, right?
Yeah.
You have to be trained how to use the machine. He's going to be an alignment, or she's going to be an alignment specialist, right? Do you know God has called you to be an alignment specialist? You run into people all the time that their lives are all out of whack. Their lives are so out of alignment, and God's called you to be part of the solution. Now, did you find Ezekiel? Ezekiel 1:16 says, as to the appearance of the wheels and their construction, in appearance they gleamed like chrysolite, and the four were formed alike, and their construction work was as a wheel within a wheel. A wheel within a wheel. Now, go to Ezekiel 1:20 and 21. Wherever the spirit went, the creatures went, and the wheels rose along with them. For the spirit, or the life of the four living creatures, acting as one living creature, was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted high beside them. For the spirit of the life of the combined living creature was in the wheels. See, this is the picture of proper wheel alignment. When these went, those went. When those moved, these moved. See, that's called holy following the Lord. That's being in proper wheel alignment. You know, I imagine this wheel within a wheel. If you're going to have two wheels that are spinning and a wheel within, they better be in pretty good alignment, hadn't they? Well, I got news for you, friend. You got a wheel within a wheel on the inside of you. And the reason sometimes that our life is all out of whack is because we're not in alignment. Are you with me? Is this making any sense? See, alignment is an action word. It's a verb. To align. See, alignment's all about our lifestyle. It's not just the way we think. It's what we do with the things we think. One of the biggest challenges that I'm finding in pastoral ministry is this issue of alignment. Because it's easy to listen to a good sermon and say, "Hallelujah, amen, brother, I agree with you." And then go home and violate everything you just heard. And I hear about it because I'm the pastor, and the person that goes home and violates everything, their spouse, you know who they're calling. So I know what's really going on in people's lives. And the issue is alignment. It's not doctrine. It's not making middle of sin and saying, "Oh, hallelujah, brother, I agree with..." No, that's not the issue. It's how do I actually act? How do I actually live? How do I actually treat people? Ooh. And then, the worst is there are some people that they can build little beliefs and doctrines that enable them to treat other people poorly. Well, she's just in rebellion. That wife of mine, she's just a Jezebel. So therefore, I will treat her badly. Any kind of a doctrine, belief you can come up with in your brain that allows you to treat somebody badly. I know what kind of a doctrine. It's a doctrine of demons. Come on, man. Alignment is essential. Alignment is about actions. And I'm preaching this to myself too, so don't think that I'm all... All you have to do is, if you want... Here, where's my phone? You can call my wife. And she will confirm that I am a work in progress too. But at least I'm seeing some things here that need work. Are you with me?
Yes.
See, these properly aligned wheels that we read of in Ezekiel, they move when the Spirit moves. They move where the Spirit moves. Wheels generally typify some kind of a vehicle, right? A wheel typifies a vehicle. And see, that's what you and I are designed to be. We're designed to be a vehicle to facilitate the moving of the Spirit. See, like Joshua and Caleb, we are to wholly follow the Lord. You're a vehicle. Now, all these verses we just read in Ezekiel, you know what the context of those verses is? They're describing the throne of God. That's what this is talking about. Is describing the throne of God. Now, the throne of God is not just a big chair in heaven where God sits and, you know, no. The throne of God is His seat of authority. And His throne is a movable throne. It's always in motion. Remember we talked about that this morning? God is light, and light is not static. Light is always in motion. Light is always in momentum because it's pure energy. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. You following this? Mm-hmm. Some of you got this deer in the headlights look, kind of like... I mean, I can start over if I need to. The throne, it's a movable throne. And really, when you stop and think about it, where's the kingdom? Well, let me ask this first. Where's the throne of God? Any kind of a throne is going to be in a kingdom, isn't it?
Yeah.
And any kind of a throne for any king is going to be in the midst of the kingdom, right?
And now where's the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within us. So if the kingdom of God is within us, and the king is indeed seated upon his throne, and then that means the throne of God, which is his seat of authority, is not off there in the heavens somewhere. His throne is in the midst of his kingdom, which is in the midst of us. So therefore, his throne, which is in us, is a movable throne or a movable feast. I like that idea too, because isn't that what we're to be? A movable feast. We talk about the Feast of Tabernacles all the time. We're to be a movable feast, an expression of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because see, one of the primary expressions of what we're all about right now is the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's not just an event, and it's not just a thing. It's to be us. We're to be a living, moving Feast of Tabernacles. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, Ernest Hemingway called Paris a movable feast. But see, I believe that God has called us to be a movable throne, a movable feast. Now, one of the primary expressions of the kingdom of God is what? It's the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, here's what happened during the Feast of Tabernacles is they came out of their ordinary everyday lives and they dwelt in booths or they dwelt in tabernacles. That's exactly what God calls us to come out of our ordinary everyday, it's all about me and my stuff, life, and dwell in him, because he is the booth, he is the tabernacle. But not only that, is that tabernacle, that feast, is a movable feast. A movable feast. Now, I want to run with this idea because it keeps coming up. Here's what Hemingway said. If you are lucky enough to have lived in Paris as a young man, then wherever you go for the rest of your life, it stays with you, for Paris is a movable feast. Now, I tend to agree with him simply because I like Paris and I go there often and it's just, you know, but what I like more, I like the concept that he introduces. A movable feast. That after encountering something, it stays with you. It stays with you. Now, whether you realized it or not, a movable feast happened at lunchtime. Remember our waitress?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know how many months it's been since we were at Big Mamu?
7 months.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
But she remembered us.
Oh, yeah.
Why did she remember us? Because she encountered us, mm-hmm. and we prophesied over her, we spoke into her life. You know how many hundreds of people she's probably seen in the last 6-7 months? Yeah. I had a chance encounter at the local Goodwill store. That's my favorite place. I love the Goodwill store. So I'm at the Goodwill store. One of the ladies that attends our church, she happened to be there with her daughter who lives in Las Vegas. She doesn't live there. But at any rate, she's there with her daughter. And so we chat for a second. She introduces me to her daughter. And I'm nice to her. And I, you know, it was just kind of a chance, you know, 2-minute encounter. It wasn't any big thing. It wasn't even, I didn't have a word for her. I didn't have anything for her other than a hug. And I'm glad to meet you. And blah, blah, blah. You know, that was it. No big deal. Well, I thought, in my mind, no big deal. And I didn't probably figure I'd never see her again. I didn't really care. it's just one of those no big deal things. So it ends up, just not too long after that, I get a friend request on Facebook from Monica's daughter. Okay, so at any rate, then it's not too long after that that the daughter starts encountering some real difficulties in her life. And who does she begin to write and say, you know, I don't know why, but I feel like I can talk to you.
I met her for 3 minutes in the Goodwill store. She didn't know me from Adam.
But there must have been something inside of here. And it wasn't the Doug inside of here that she was connecting with, because the Doug didn't really care about, Now, since then, she's become a good friend and everything, but at the time, at the initial meeting, she was just this lady's daughter, and that's nice, and, see you later type of thing. But obviously, there was some kind of a connection in there. Yeah. So at any rate, it just so happens that I was able to minister to her, and then pretty soon, she came back out to see her mom again, and the first place she wanted to come when she came out was to church. So she comes to church, she flew in, and they drove right from the airport straight to church. This is a girl who had not been to church much, I don't think. So at any rate, she comes straight to church. And at our fellowship, when somebody shows up like that's hungry, man, we're like sharks. We just pounce on them with love and all that. And we prayed over her, and we're prophesying over her, and then tears are streaming down her cheek. So she was ministered to. And my point being is, it was just a little chance encounter. But yet, something stayed with her. Our little waitress there. Just, it wasn't really that big of a deal. I didn't think. It was just,
She didn't forget.
But she didn't forget.
No.
She didn't forget. See, God's called you to be a movable feast. He's called you to be like Paris, so that after people encounter you, something inside changes, that they're different. That's the potential that we have. Are you with me?
Yeah.
See, I like this concept. I like this concept. See, because really, when we speak of a movable feast or a movable throne, really what we're talking about is aligning earth with heaven. Isn't that it?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the prayer we pray? Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's all about alignment. God has called you to be an alignment technician. You see, when she first messaged me on Facebook about what the stuff was going on in her life, my first reaction was, oh God, what do I do? I don't know how to deal with this. You're talking to the wrong guy. My initial reaction was, but then it's like all of a sudden God began to show me some answers and stuff like that because I took the time to say, help. See, you're an answer looking for a problem. You are an answer looking for a problem. If you don't understand, Doug, I got enough problems of my own for everybody. Well, hello, welcome to, the best way to get out of your problem is to help somebody else out of their problem. Sometimes we have people call us and, it's like, holy cow, they just got so many problems. The only thing I can think of to tell them to do is to go down to the homeless shelter or something and help somebody. Get your brain off all your problems and help somebody else out of their problem, and pretty soon you'll probably find that your problems start to dissipate. Because see, we have a tendency to, when we dwell on our problems, whatever you give your energy to is going to grow. And when, I gotta solve this problem, I gotta figure this thing out, blah, 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 blah. When you're putting all your energy in your problems, you know what you're going to get? More problems. Yeah. Whatever you put your energy to, that's what's going to grow. Go to Deuteronomy 11:21. I love this verse. Deuteronomy 11:21. See, we're called to be alignment technicians, aligning heaven into the realm of the earth. And it happens via two things. It happens via our spoken declaration, and it happens via our lifestyle. And here's the result.
The result can be this, Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. As the days of heaven upon the earth. Your life can be like that. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to be just hunky-dory, peachy-keen, everything's going to be wonderful, leave it to Beaver, you know, nothing. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it can be like heaven on earth. We get in alignment. Doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean we're not going to have issues. But God wants to multiply our days. He wants to give us heaven on earth. Now, the children of Israel were not aligned with the purposes of God. And when they encountered difficulty, what happened? They went off course, basically for 40 years. But once they came back into agreement with the two who originally agreed with God, once they came back into agreement, and then they aligned themselves with God's purposes, you know what happened? They began to advance, didn't they? That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. It's the power of advancement. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So stand to your feet. Take out your Bible. We're going to make some declarations here. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I
can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will agree with God.
I will agree with God.
I will agree with my brothers and sisters.
I will agree with my brothers and sisters.
I will not just make mental assent.
I will not just make mental assent.
I will align myself with what I've agreed with.
I will align myself with what I have agreed with.
Via my lifestyle.
Via my lifestyle.
And what I actually do.
And what I actually do.
And I will advance.
And I will advance.
And as I advance.
And as I advance.
We advance.
We advance.
And as we advance.
And as we advance.
I advance. Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yippee skippy.
Yippee skippy.